This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Okay, so we all remember this moment.
When I spoke to the president, the first thing I said, would you like me to drive the truck down to Washington so you can see it?
And that moment, as we do all remember, of course, was Senator Scott Brown just after he and his GM truck threw the Massachusetts political world off its axis this past January. Brown had won a Senate seat long considered a lock by Massachusetts Democrats, which led political observers like Boston Globe columnist Sam Allis to wonder, what other seats might the GOP pick off in 2010?
I hate to go cosmic, but I think this is a seat change. We'll see in November, but Democrats who are up for re-election have got to be terrified.
Now, no incumbent is going to say that they're running scared, but one Massachusetts Democrat, Congresswoman Nikki Tsongas, has a whole pack of opponents running after her. Because the 5th Congressional District went strong for Scott Brown, and the National Republican Congressional Committee has openly set its sights on Tsongas' seat. Congresswoman Nikki Tsongas joins us today to talk politics and policy, legislative victories, and election year challenges in these most interesting times. We also want your questions for her, especially if you're a 5th District voter. So give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Congresswoman Nikki Tsongas, welcome to Radio Boston.
Good afternoon. It's good to be here.
It's really a pleasure to have you. Let me actually just start with some of those legislative victories that you've recently had. I mean, you went to just came back from a trip from Afghanistan, which we'll touch upon later. But also, just last week, you were able to pass two bills regarding armor in the military, I believe, and also protection for soldiers who experience violence on base. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Well, the issue of body armor was one I became aware of as a member of the Armed Services Committee, and we had a hearing in which those tasked with sort of providing the soldiers with good protection came to talk to us. And what became clear was that while body armor can be very protective, the sheer weight of it often causes injury, causes skeletal injury, minor fractures. So as a result, soldiers cannot be deployed with their units. I happened to ask a young soldier if he was ever tempted to take it off because of its weight and the fact that it might be very hot, and he simply couldn't move the way he felt he needed to, and he said yes. Mm-hmm. So I also had serving on my staff a young congressional fellow, an Army captain, who was well aware that this was an issue as well in his deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan. So we pursued that last year in the defense authorization bill, saying that we wanted to see a single line item so we would know how much the services are investing in the development of lighter weight body armor. This year we went further with that, and tasking the services to come together and work with an entity out there and create a plan to develop lightweight body armor. There are many companies in the 5th District who I am sure could come forth with technologies once they knew that this was an opportunity for them. So it's a job creation opportunity for my district as well as other districts, but also obviously addresses a very important issue mm-hmm. as we seek to protect our soldiers as best we can.
You've spent quite a bit of your time in the House so far, really focusing on these military issues, especially regarding our military engagements overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan. You recently came back from your third trip, I believe, to Afghanistan. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And just briefly, you met President Hamid Karzai there. What did you make of the state of the U.S. engagement in Afghanistan right now? I understand you don't actually agree with President Obama's current strategy.
Well, you see a marked change. I've been three times, as you mentioned, virtually a year apart. You know, one year, then another year, then another year. So over the course of several years, going roughly every year. My first visit, I went with what's called the Financial Services Committee. We were really looking at just how the banking industry was beginning to develop in Kabul. There was a sense of that we had been neglectful in Afghanistan, but that the country was just sort of bumping along. And we were able to travel throughout Kabul. We did have to be protected, but there was a sense that it was safe to go around the city. And we visited with a micro lender. We visited with a who was starting to put small amounts of money out to Afghan women and sort of begin to generate modest means of developing an income. We met with a bank, a Pakistani bank that was coming to open in Kabul, and we obviously met with our ambassador. But at the time, the military effort was really very low-key. The day we left, though, there was a bombing of the Serena Hotel. Mm-hmm. That is the hotel in downtown Kabul that, in my mind, sort of marks a whole nother turn in the war. When we went back last year, it was right after the president, our new president, had announced his decision to send 17,000 additional soldiers. There was a sense of hopefulness. Ambassador Eikenberry was not yet in place. He had been nominated but not yet confirmed. His deputy was there and saw a real opportunity, especially with the emphasis on the civilian side and putting real resources into capacity building throughout the country. General McKiernan was still the general. He was replaced within a couple of weeks. But you sensed opportunity and still a lot of challenges. We were coming off of several drone strikes in which civilians had been injured and if not killed, and all the outcry appropriately around that. So it was sort of a midpoint. And then when we went back this time, it was quite a different thing. You could see the buildup. You could feel it around the embassy, just the reflective of all the added personnel there. You could see the extraordinary challenges as we're going ahead with this new strategy that General McChrystal has developed. In meeting with President Karzai, we've all heard and all well understand just how that government has not been able to manage its country appropriately, the allegations of a corruption around his half-brother down in Kandahar. So I came away with many questions. We also did make a visit to Kandahar while we were there.
So is one of those questions whether or not you think the president is currently following the best strategy? I mean, we're building up our troop presence in Afghanistan while reducing it in Iraq. You don't think that additional troops is the way to go? Or would you like to see a firmer exit strategy of some kind?
I think as we put in place whatever appropriate resources or whatever resources our president feels is necessary, I need it to know how we know when we've been successful, what an exit strategy will look like, so that we as members of Congress are not put in the position of, well, we're going to ask for this today, and then 6 months later, well, that didn't quite work. Now we're going to ask for this today again and keep just extending the sight lines as to how long we will be there and what it will take to be successful.
Okay, well, that's foreign policy. Obviously, many people in the 5th District still care very much about it, but there's also a whole suite of domestic policy issues which are on their minds. And here's one of them. This was just a couple months ago. It's a group protesting just outside your offices in downtown Lowell. They call themselves the Concerned Citizens of the 5th District.
People are lining up to challenge you in 2010, Nikki, and there's a reason for it. I tell you, there's a lot of reasons for it, but the most important reason is jobs, Nikki.
We want jobs! We want jobs! We want jobs!
So that was back in March, and this, the concern about jobs and high unemployment rate, particularly in Lowell and Lawrence, much higher than the state average, is one of the things that makes many people who are watching the 5th District carefully think that you are maybe not the strongest incumbent that they've seen in the November races. Why do you think that so many people think you're vulnerable at this point in time?
Well, I think there's obviously, especially as we were heading into Senator Brown's election, a lot of frustration. The health care debate had gone on for months on end with no clear resolution. The job situation, while improved tremendously, we still needed many steps to take, and that's still the case. I mean, if we look back when President Obama came into office, we lost 700,000 jobs in that month. And had we continued along that path, I shudder to think where we would be today. But that extraordinary situation required an extraordinary response, which was the American Recovery Package. And as a result, we've seen those job losses moderate over time each month. If I had a graph in front of me, I could show you how every month we lost less, to the point where last month we gained. We're starting to replace some of those jobs lost. Does that mean it's over? Obviously not. If you're someone who's lost your job, and there are far too many in the 5th District, we have much more work to do. So we've done it on a number of of fronts. One, we support the legislative efforts that are taking place at the federal level. So the Hires Act, which we recently passed, really encourages small businesses to expand their hiring, or if they have part-time people, to expand their hours. Obviously, we think the passage of health care over time will reduce the costs on small businesses and allow them to put more into hiring. Just this week, we passed something called the Competes Act. It's an extraordinary investment in science, technology, engineering, and math. This was a bill that had broad bipartisan support last year. This year, really, it was only the Democrats who supported it, and yet it's key to our long-term competitiveness. But on the local level, we've done other things, too. We were proud to work with Monster.com to bring them to Lowell to host a job fair. We are have appointed a liaison to small businesses because we know that's where the growth opportunities are, so that we can answer the questions small businesses have about opportunities through the federal government. So we're supporting the broad policy efforts, but also know it's so important in the 5th District to be engaged on the ground.
Well, in just the couple seconds we have before the break, and we can pick this up also after the break, I think one of the things that concerns people is maybe especially in Lowell, where the unemployment rate is 11.5% currently, and in Lawrence, where it's 17.5%, a lot of potential voters are saying, we're not seeing that. Those effects on the ground yet, especially when the statewide unemployment rate is 9.3%. So there's a big gap between what we see statewide versus what people are suffering with in the 5th District. I want to get more on that after the break. We're talking with Congresswoman Nikki Tsongas. You can join us. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Find us on Facebook and Twitter, also at Radio Boston. This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We will be right back. This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're joined today by Congresswoman Nikki Tsongas. She represents Massachusetts in the 5th District and the House of Representatives, and she's also up for re-election this November. What question do you have for Congresswoman Tsongas? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. When we first introduced her a little earlier this hour, I mentioned that Congresswoman Tsongas won a special election in 2007, ran unopposed in 2008, but this year she's got 11, currently as of today, people vying also for her seat. One of them is Republican John Golnick, and he is currently trying to tap off some of that energy that the 5th District showed for Senator Scott Brown. Here he is speaking to WCVB's On the Record.
I think the Tea Party is a good organization. I think that it's great because it's bringing people into the political process that up until now have not been involved. And if you're bringing people into the political process, it's good for the country. It's good for democracy. It's good
so,
for us.
But you wouldn't call yourself a member, or you would call yourself
a member? I don't know if I call
member.
I share some of the same concerns that people in the Tea Party share. Look, I mean, I feel like we're not being listened to.
That's John Golnick again, GOP candidate or I should say, he's running for Congresswoman Nikki Tsongas' seat in the November election in the 5th District. He was on WCVB a little earlier. And Congresswoman Tsongas, I wanted to play that tape because John Golnick, obviously, he wants to oppose you. He raised the issue of the Tea Party, and the Tea Party showed its support for Senator Scott Brown, largely because of the issues that we were talking about just before the break, the economy and jobs. So when you're hearing basically every single one of your opponents bring these issues to the forefront in terms of why they feel that you're a candidate that they want to defeat, what's your response to that in terms of how why you should continue to be in office for the 5th District?
Well, I think we probably have to look at how we got to that point in the first place. That the challenge that President Obama faced was one that was a long time in the making, and we have to remember that we had for 8 years a Republican president and 12 years a Republican Congress. So the great downturn in our economy did not happen overnight, and I believe was a result of policies that were put in place throughout those 8 or 12 years, depending on how you look at it. So the real issue as we go forward is whether we want to go back to those policies that put us in this situation or continue down the path and let these things that we've put in place have an opportunity to work. So let's just look at the example of health care reform, a highly debated issue, one I felt proud to vote for because I saw great benefits to our state and to our communities and to our country as a whole, whether it's the insurance reforms that we put in place, whether it's the cost-saving mechanisms and the fact that it will be less costly to seniors and to those throughout this commonwealth, whether it make it more possible for small businesses to begin to put more of their dollars into research and development or into hiring people. I saw great benefit to our commonwealth and to the communities I represent. But we have to give these things some time to work. It's not enough simply to be against them and say we should simply just do away with all that we've accomplished. It took many, many months to put this in place. I think the voters out there know that this is something, whatever they may think about it. And actually, I had an interesting conversation yesterday. I went to several Memorial Day events, really a very important moment for us to remember the tremendous sacrifices that mm-hmm. those serving today and throughout our history have made in our behalf, the great losses their families sustain, in a moment of reflection. But people are people, and as I was walking into the cemetery, a gentleman came up to me and he said, "So tell me now, how is this health care going to help Medicare?" Because he happens to be on Medicare. And as I walked through it, the savings around the donut holes that closes, the fact that preventative, if you get a routine flu shot, you won't have to pay a copay, different preventative measures, there'll be no copay, encouraging seniors and all of us actually in the system wide as it goes into effect to take all those measures to stay well, you can see people wanting to be more thinking it through and seeing the benefits to it. So I think the real debate here is we put in place a lot of things to change the direction of this country, to deal with extraordinary challenges to it, and the real question comes to, do you want to stop it's dead in its tracks and go back to what we had, or do you want to go forward?
You know, it's interesting that you should mention health care because, I mean, there are many who are in the 5th District who remember you actually faced quite a raucous crowd in one of the health care town halls. There are 1,000 people showed up. You, on both sides of the issue, I guess you were booed many times and faced a lot of challenges. But today, you know, I spoke with some people I know who follow the 5th District very closely, who report on it, and they say that when they talk to constituents, while there may be those who, as you mentioned, who are starting to see the benefits of it, there are others who still say your health care vote is one of the main things that sticks in their minds as reasons why they don't want to vote for you, because they don't feel like you were representing their needs or their desires as members of the 5th District, and instead you were following, as they say, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and President Obama.
Well, the 5th District is a very diverse place, and I can tell you that since health care passed, I have had hundreds of people come up to me and say, thank you for that vote. So I think it depends on who one talks to. There's always going to be those who are strongly against whatever vote any member of Congress takes, as well as those who are strongly supportive. So I think in this instance, what I'm finding is that as people reflect upon how it's going to make a difference in their life, their support for it, and they also see that it's broad of the part of the larger picture as to how do we get our economy moving. And so I feel strong that vote was important to take, felt it was in the best interest of my constituents and my state, and I look forward to it being rolled out.
Well, let's hear from some of those constituents now. Danielle's calling from Lowell. Welcome to Radio Boston, Danielle.
Hi, Representative Tsongas. I have a question, but also I just want to say that on Greater Boston, the program on GBH, the person that runs the Massachusetts health care said it will save Massachusetts $2.5 billion. And I appreciate that you mentioned that it's going to lower costs for small business. But my question is, I understand that when your husband, your late husband, ran for president, I don't know, probably close to 20 years ago before he passed away, that you were with him on the campaign trail, and if so, I wondered what you learned from that experience talking to constituents and potential voters.
Danielle, thanks for your call. Congressman Tsongas.
That's a great question, and that was 1991-92. What I've learned throughout every campaign I've ever been part of, whether it was Paul's presidential campaign, but also in his race for the Senate, two races for Congress, two races for the Lowell City Council, as well as a reform effort for Middlesex County, is that you have to earn every vote. And the process fundamentally requires and actually becomes more enjoyable by the opportunity to go out, meet people in their homes or in their places of work, better understand the particular needs they have, make the case around who you are, who I am, what I hope to do, and then feel that the voter has some real connection. And it's making those real connections that I think Paul's many campaigns taught me, that my own campaign in 2007 taught me, my service in office has taught me, that, you know, I've done, I think, 34 Congress on Your Corners, where I go to different communities and we call out to the community and let people mm-hmm. come down to talk with me. I do teletown halls so I can use technology to reach thousands of people at once. We've done live town halls, the one you referenced. We do we do an e-newsletter so people know why I'm voting the way I'm voting. I've really relished all the different ways and find it so important, the different ways in which I can connect with people. And that's really what I learned from my many years of campaigning with my husband as well.
Let's get another call in here. Matt is calling from Stowe. Welcome to Radio Boston, Matt.
Hello. I'm calling as a longtime advocate for the legalization of marijuana and other drugs. And I was really hoping to get Congressman Tsongas's take on possibly ending the war on drugs for several reasons. One, to stop putting Swiss cheese holes in the Fourth Amendment, and number two, to stop wasting the money on policing and incarceration that we do.
Matt, your line's a little tough to hear, so I'm going to pick it up there. Thanks so much for your call. Representative Tsongas, briefly, your stance on drug control.
Well, definitely on the issue of the use of marijuana for medical purposes, I do endorse. You know, having been for many years very involved in the medical community, watching my husband go through extraordinary treatments in order to give him many years of life. And fortunately, he, unlike many, did not have to deal with extraordinary physical discomfort until well into the disease. But I do think there is an important role for the use of marijuana for medical purposes.
We just got a minute left with you. Let me throw one last question at you. You didn't have any opponents in 2008. There's a reason why, as of today, you've got 11 opponents in your race for 2010. Granted, there's still many months to go, which are many lifetimes in politics. But are you concerned that there's genuinely some discontent out there in the 5th District for your performance and your representation of the people up there in the district?
Well, I think there's no denying that the race, Senator Brown's race, really did energize people who saw an opportunity to seek public office, and it is one of the best possible ways one can serve their country. To date, though, those 11 candidates have been whittled down a bit. I think now there are only four on the Republican side, one independent. Independents have a little longer to get on the ballot. So the process will winnow, you know, the Republican challenger, figure out among themselves who that will be. In the meantime, I have a job to do, and that's what my focus is on, doing that job, making sure that we're doing everything we can to create jobs across this country, and in particular in the 5th District. You mentioned the extraordinary unemployment that some of the communities I face have, that I represent have, and I sent a letter to President Obama encouraging him to think about a direct hires program in a community like Lawrence, just simply putting people to work. And in my view, it was around protecting and preserving some of our older buildings. The cities of the Merrimack Valley and older cities across the state and this country really could use some preservation, and it's work that puts people out there in their community. But we also understand the challenges of small to mid-sized cities. It's not an accident that these smaller and mid-sized cities have such high unemployment, and we're putting together a forum on innovative cities that we'll be holding in a couple of weeks to begin to look at best practices for small and mid-sized cities and how to bring them back to life, because we have a great success story in Lowell, and we want to replicate that.
So the work continues even in an election year. And just to give listeners a little bit of context, the 5th District did go for Senator Scott Brown by almost 58%. But on that note, Congresswoman Nikki Tsongas, I'll have to let you go. Look forward to having you back again on Radio Boston.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for being here.